us, I want to first of all say, do you realize how great the Lord is? Do you really realize how great the Lord is and how great things the Lord has done in our lives? I don't know if you're here today, but I know I can testify today that the Lord sure has done some great things in my life, and I'm convinced. Can anybody agree with me? The Lord has done some good things in your life and great things in your life as well. For example, the Lord has broken the power of sin in my life. I mean, once upon a time, I was a slave to sin, but not any longer. And not only that, but the fact that He would forgive my sins and give me a home in heaven, God has been doing some great things in my life. And I'm believing He's doing great things in your life. For that reason, the Lord wanted to follow up on the message last week. The title was Hope for Hard Times. And if you want to, you can say this is part two, or you can go to the subtitle, which really is the title today, The Lord Has Done Great Things. The Lord has done great things. Let's say that together. The Lord has done great things. Say it one more time. He really has. He's done great things in my life. And if you were here today, then you must admit that the Lord has done great things in your life as well. But you know what, beloved? Let's be honest. How many of you have come to the conclusion, listen, we live in a divided nation. How many agree with that? Raise your hand. We live in a divided nation. I mean, I was more aware over this weekend than any other time how divided our nation is and how in our world demonic oppression and demonic addiction is just rampant. I mean, we live at a time where the battle is raging, and I want to tell you something, whether you want the battle to rage or not, your sons and my son and our daughters and our grandchildren are under attack. The family is under attack today. It really is. And whether you want to admit it or not, we're in a battle. And therefore the battle is raging and you don't really have an option. I don't really have an option. We've got to engage the enemy because not only are the families under attack, your family's under attack by the enemy. And not only that, but churches are under attack. I guarantee you, if New Rocky Creek continues to reach souls and to disciple and share the good news, and I guarantee you the enemy's going to continue to unleash his attacks. Over the last course of a number of weeks and months and a year or so, we have certainly seen the attacks of the enemy. And yet the Lord is good. The Lord, we've got to continue to focus on God. And for example, maybe today the enemy is wanting to get some ground in your life with anger or bitterness, or you've been maybe going through a situation where you're feeling unforgiving and you're hard to get past that. The enemy is really attacking the people of God and this nation and, yea, the world, because he knows his time is short. But the Lord Jesus, he has done great things, and I need and you need and we all need the power of God in these days. Speaking of the enemy attacking, I love the story of the lady that went and bought a dress that cost $1,000. Have you ever seen a dress for $1,000? You've probably seen some that are more expensive than that. Anyway, she bought the dress for $1,000. She came home. Her husband hit the ceiling. He said, you did what? You bought a dress for $1,000? He said, my soul. He said, what in the world was going on through your mind when you bought that dress for $1,000? And anyway, she said, it was a nice dress. And then he said, well, why didn't you tell the devil? She said, I believe the devil just put it in my mind to go ahead and buy it. He said, well, why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? She said, well, when I tried it on, the devil said it looked good from the front, and then I told him to get behind me. He said it looked good from the back, so I bought it anyway. I don't know about that, but I know this. I know the Lord has been good to us, and learn this today, if you don't know it already. Man's extremities becomes God's opportunities. Man's extremities becomes God's opportunity. And we're going to see today there are three steps in order to get your breakthrough or in order to engage the enemy and watch God do great things in your family. Because your family and my family is under attack. The church is under attack. Your Sunday school class is under attack. The ministry is under attack. The enemy is like a roaring lion, and therefore we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has done great things. And I want to invite you today to turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, we're going to read the follow-up, which we didn't have time last week to do. I intended to preach on this last week as well, but we didn't have time at least allude to it. But this week I've been really diving deeper in the text, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Three steps that you and I need to take in these days in order to overcome the enemy, in order to resist the devil, and to see that the Lord indeed has done great things. Mark chapter 5. If you would, stand to your feet as we read God's word today. We're going to begin in verse 1. Again, those of you that weren't here last week, you may remember or you may not the fact that Mark is a servant of the Lord. He portrays the Lord Jesus, that is, as a servant of the Lord. He is a secretary of Peter. And Mark, his ultimate goal as he writes to the Romans / Gentiles and to us today is to present Jesus. He's adequate to get the job done. He indeed is a servant, and he's got great wonder-working power. Oh, yes, he does. In chapter 5 of the Gospel of Mark, I begin reading in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Pause for a moment. Look up here. Would you look up here at this map? Here is a historical, geographical map of exactly what we're talking about. By the way, you do know the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry predominantly evolved around this area, the Galilee area. 3 years he was here on earth as he was in serving and making a difference, performing miracles indeed. And so this is the primary area, although he traveled to Bethany and other places south of this. However, here's the Sea of Galilee. They were on one side, and then all of a sudden they sailed to the other side. Here is the Gadara, or where we're going to be talking about today, on the other side of the sea. I just thought that would help for you as you are Bible students, as we get our bearings in mind as to what we're talking about from a geographical perspective. All right, continue to read verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, he is the Lord Jesus. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I believe in demon spirits, do you? If you don't, you need to, because they are real. And you better believe it, a person who's not saved, they're under the control of the devil. Do you hear me? And you don't even realize it. You're blinded. You don't even realize the devil's got a hold of you. But that's the way the devil operates. Deception and delusion. And you don't even know it. You think that you're all right. But the devil's leading you on to a precipice. And you die and go to hell and burn in the lake of fire. The devil wants you to think that you're all right. But the devil's a liar. And that's the real difficult problem, is people think they're right with God, and people sit home from church and think that they're in touch with God and live like a devil. No, you got to be walking with the Lord in order to be in fellowship with God. I'm sorry, doesn't matter who it is, me or you or whoever. Keep reading, please. Verse number 3. And this unclean spirit, notice verse 3, who had his dwelling, and that dwelling means oikos, it means he lived among the tombs. The word among is the word kata, K-A-T-A in the Greek. It means down in the tombs. And you know it was in tombs. It was dead people. Notice, he lived and dwelt among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Chains couldn't hold this man. Not man-made chains, but we're talking about demonic chains. This man was chained with demon spirits. Keep reading, verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters, and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, into the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And that word crying means loud. He was shrieking. He was a wild man. He was a madman. He was in terrible shape. But notice verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, praise the Lord, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That's the man in the man. That's not the demons in the men and that man. And he cried with a loud voice, verse 7, and he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. You know, that's about 5,000, 6,000, according to some calculations. And he besought him. He begged him much that he would not send them demons away out of the country. I'd say that's what's happening in America. It's a good place to say amen right there. Demons are all over America. Demon spirits are all over Washington, D.C. Demon spirits are all over Jasper County. Demon spirits are all over. I know good angels are too, but we got to get our spiritual eyes open to see we're in a battle. And I'll tell you what, the battle's the Lord's. Keep reading now. And so in verse number 11, and now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him. They begged him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000. That's a lot of hogs. 2,000. There were about 2,000 hogs and swine. And they were choked in the sea. That means they were drowned in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told into the city, into the country. And they went out to see what it was done. Come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. That word right mind is the word sophronio. Sophronio means a sound mind. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not a Christian today, you're not in your sound mind. You think you're in control, but you're not. The devil's in control of you. And I want to tell you, if you're not under the subjection of the Holy Spirit of God, you're under the control of the devil. And I know you don't want to believe that, but that is the truth, because he's the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. And you just don't see it. It's so easy to be deceived by the devil. I know I've been there. Thank God for God's grace. Verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Get him out of here. We're losing money. This is our business. Swine, hogs. We don't care about the man who's possessed of the devil. We care more about money in our pocket. Isn't that like today? Wow. Verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, I love this. Underline this. Go home to thy friends. Say it with me. Go home to thy friends. Say it again. 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 That's what Jesus wants you to do today and me to do today. Go home to thy friends and tell them. Here's the title of the message today. Tell them what? How great things the Lord had done for thee. How great things the Lord had done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, that is this man, and he began to publish in Decapolis. You know what that word publish is? The word publish is caruso. We get our word preach. This man went out and preached. He had a story to tell. If you've been saved, you've got a story to tell. How many believe y'all got a story to tell? Are you telling it? Why aren't you telling it? Well, they won't listen. They will if they see your lifestyle. If your lifestyle measures up with your talk, if your walk does, they'll listen. Maybe that's why we're not telling it, because our walk's not lined up with our talk. Maybe we need to get our walk in line with our talk. That's why we're here at church today. Ah, keep reading. Verse number 20. He departed and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. I say hallelujah. And all men did marvel. Father, thank you. You're alive. Thank you that you still have power over the devil. You still have, Lord, delivering power over demons and devils. And God, I know there's one devil, but the many demons. And yet, Lord, you're doing great things. You're setting people free. You're breaking the shackles of the enemy. And Lord, it's not just those that are drunkards and homosexuals and wicked as we think of wickedness and sin. But God is among even, Lord, some how we can give ground to the devil. You said don't give ground to the devil, harboring bitterness and unforgiveness and pride and all this stuff. Lord, I know the devil can't possess us. Demons can't, but God, we can be manipulated. And so I'm praying, Father, today that you'll turn the light on our life and that you'll remove hypocrisy and play acting and Lord, going through the motions. You'll strip away this facade and Lord, the play acting, and Father, you'll get down deep in us, and that Lord, you'll deliver us from the evil one, and Father, you'll give us a vision and burden for many that are bound down with the lies of the enemy, and that Father God are under his cruel, merciful, merciless whip. And God, I pray now that you'll just manifest your glory, that we'd see great things you've done, that there I would go yet by your grace. And Father, I pray now that you'll open our eyes and you'll open our ears, open our hearts to see we're in a spiritual battle. This nation is warring not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And our families are warring against demonic activity. And dear Lord, New Rocky Creek is standing in the battle for right and righteousness and holiness. And dear Lord, the truth of your word. And we know the enemy would love to see the light snuffed out. So I pray, God, you'll call us forth as soldiers of the cross, not to be, Lord, preoccupied with worldly pursuits, but God, sold out to you in these days as we see our family rescued and see our community change by a living God. And we love you and give you glory now. I pray, Lord, penetrate. Lord, impact every soul here today with the good news that you are greater than the enemy. And when all said and done, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. There are three steps that you and I need to take that I think will come about to bring your breakthrough. Here they are. Number one, I want you to see. Will you follow with me and see a madman? That's right, a madman shackled and chained by the devil and needing healing, watch this, from the past. He's needing healing from the past. I see that in verses 1 through verse 5. You'll see it in a moment. Don't worry, you won't get it all right now. I'll have it on screen in just a moment. But number 2, there's a second step that I think you and I need to take if we're going to overcome the enemy. If we're going to be victorious, then number 2, will you follow with me and see not only a madman who is shackled and chained by the devil, needing deliverance, needing freedom from the past, but now this madman meets the God-man. I said this madman meets the God-man, the chain breaker, the way maker. Yes, Jesus, the God-man. He indeed sets this man free from, not only heals him from the past, but brings help in the present. And then I find that in verse 6 through verse 14. We'll see it in a moment. The madman meeting the God man. But thirdly, the third step that I think is absolutely essential for us to overcome the enemy is found in verses 15 through verse 20. This madman meets the God man, the way maker, the chain breaker. And this madman is turned into a glad man. And the Lord brings him hope for the future. Not only healing in the past, help for the present, but hope for the future. Number one, notice with this madman shackled by the devil, chained by the devil. People couldn't chain him, but the devil had him chained down. And then I want you to see that very clearly. Number one, we look and see a madman who's shackled, chained by the devil, needs healing from the past. Go back with me to verse 1 of chapter Mark's gospel. He says, they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, verse 3, and who had his dwelling and among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Two thoughts about this madman who is shackled and chained by the devil, and he needs healing. He needs healing from the past. Two thoughts. Number one, I want you to see the madman's identity. The madman's identity. Secondly, the madman's misery. First, the madman's identity. And the Lord spoke my heart about this. I'm not trying to do anything but just to tell you this. The madman's identity. Where is his mama? Where is his daddy? Where is his family? Where is somebody that cares about this man? You know he had a mama. You know he had a daddy at some point. He wouldn't be here. His identity. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of mamas and daddies right here today, and grandmamas and granddaddies that are weeping over their children, weeping over their grandchildren right here today, heartbroken because the enemy's coming like a flood. But I came to tell you today, hey, there might be some activity of demonic spirits, but I'm so thankful to God that Jesus is stronger than the devil. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. You don't need to give up hope. Can you hear me? I said, don't give up hope. I said, don't quit. Don't stop. I said, you can't think that you can go on your own merry way and do your own little thing and live your own little life without the enemy attacking your family and my family and our home. And therefore, it calls for us to be armed as soldiers of the cross. So, first see his identity. Can I ask you something? How do you feel about yourself? Truthfully. How do you feel about yourself? You know what a lot of people say? Here's what our identity is, wrapped up in our job, especially men. I work here and I do this. Or women are wrapped up in their relationships. And if every relationship isn't just right, their identity, they have an identity crisis. And a lot of young people, listen to me. What do you think about yourself? I guarantee you, most young people today say, you know, if I could change this, I'd change this. I'd be a little taller. I'd be a little, you know, my hair would be this color. My eyes would be this color. Young people have identity crisis today. Why? They like adults do. We identify our job status or our social status, or we identify our standing in the community, whatever it might be. Hey, listen, or we identify our expectations, what other people think about us, and that makes us either feel good or bad. And the only problem with that, you see where I'm going, don't you? The only problem with that is you can't live up to everybody's expectations. Can I get an amen? You can't live up to everybody's expectations. Somebody's not going to like you. I hate to tell you that. My wife every once in a while tells me, said, honey, I just want you to know everybody don't like you. I said, well, bless the Lord, I don't like everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I do. But anyway, I choose to love and forgive. But hey, by the way, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for. And so don't just to try to be popular, a friend of the world. The Bible says, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so you're going to have to take a stand sooner or later. You don't have to be ugly about it. You don't have to be a Pharisee about it. But your identity, listen to me. I can't tell you how many times that I've had the privilege of talking with people, and they're caught in a trap about their identity. They don't feel good about themselves. Look what I've done. Look what I've been through. I feel like a failure. And they say, well, my identity is wrapped up in, a performance-based acceptance. I mean, as long as I do everything right, as long as everybody gets along with me, as long as I'm, people talk good about me or whatever, then I feel good about myself. But when people don't talk good about me, and when I make a mistake on my job or whatever, it throws me for a tailspin, and I feel bad about myself. And you see, that's all a trap, because I came to tell you today that when you become a Christian, thank God, it's not what people think about us, but rather it's what God says about us. Amen. That makes all the difference in the world. And some of you today maybe are feeling an inferior complex or a poor self-image. And I just want to tell you something. It's not what people say about us or performance, but rather it's grace-based acceptance that God loves us and the Lord, what he says about it, what he's done for us, and who we are in Christ. I can look at a man and be around in about 5 minutes, can tell you exactly where he's driven. by his job, by what he does, by what people like about him. And then you start talking about a spiritual life, or you're talking about relationship with God in Jesus Christ and having a good self-image. And for some reason, there's a blockage right there. And there's some ladies here today, and there's some mamas here today, and grandmamas here today, that you're feeling awful because of stuff happening here and there. And instead of moving on with the Lord, you can't move on with the Lord until you come to grips with what Christ Jesus has done for us and who we are in him. And once you do that, praise the Lord, you are free indeed. So this man's identity, he's a wild man. He's a madman. But notice his misery. Man, he is miserable. Nobody can tame him. The chains can't hold him. He is in awful shape. It reminded me of when I was in South America, over in Guyana. I'll never forget preaching in a church. It was right off the river. Right off the river, this church was, and the church was packed out. Man, there was standing room. There were people in the aisles all up and down on the side of the building, and it was packed out with children, with adults, men and women, and it was at night. It was dark outside, and we were singing and praising the Lord together, and there was a mission team. We were all together, and I had the privilege of preaching that night. I'm going to forget it, and the Lord gave me the message, and I began to preach the Word of God, and the glory of God began to manifest there in that place. And I'll never forget it, as God was ministering to hearts and people were seeking the Lord and praying and getting right with God, the Lord impressed to me. I saw a man standing in the back of the door, and it was dark outside, and he was looking at me, and he was waving for me to come that way. And so I walked from where I was at and walked, and he stepped outside. It was pitch black dark. There was no light. I could not even see him as I walked outside. I walked outside, and I could hear his voice, but I couldn't see him. And I, for some reason, the Lord gave me peace about it. And I remember when he said something, I said, "What's your name?" And I asked him his name. And then he held out his hand. I could barely see his hand, and I grabbed his hand. And he said, "Hey, pray for me." He said, "The devil's had a hold of me, and I can't get free. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to break the chains of the enemy." I said, "I can't break them, but Jesus can." And I will never forget, I didn't know if he had a gun, a knife, or whatever. He said, "Man, I'm all mixed up," and he began to tell me all the stuff that he had done. I'm not even going to go through it here, but you would be absolutely amazed at things he was talking about, the way he had lived and things he had done to people and his condition. And I remember the Lord just came on my heart, to him be glory. And I prayed right there for that man, and I'll never forget it. I asked God to speak to him. I asked the Lord to set him free. And I thank the Lord Jesus that he overcome the enemy. And I really sensed the Lord was moving in that man's heart. And when I finished praying, he came in the church, and he was sitting among the other people and praising the Lord. Unfortunately, we had to leave the next morning, so I don't know whatever happened to the man. But I'm telling you this, the enemy's real. There's the misery. There's the identity of this madman who needs to be helped from and healing from the past. But I want you to see one number two. Not only this madman, notice this madman. He's a wild man. He's cutting himself. He's got these stones, and he's shrieking and he's shrilling. Young people do that today. Older people may not cut themselves, but we do other things to neglect our body. And we get mad at the world, and we get irritated with stuff around us. And then instead of handling it in the proper way, you know what we do? We take it out on ourselves. And we beat up ourselves, and then we go in our little cocoon or our little shell, and we sulk for a little while, and then the enemy's got a hold of us. No wonder Paul said, "Neither give place to the devil." And so I want you to see this wild man. He's in sad. You know what the wild man's doing? You know what the young people are doing today? Do you know what the young people are? You know why young people are cutting themselves today? You know why young people are cutting themselves today? You know, don't you? You do know, don't you? I'll tell you why. Attention. They're mad, they're bitter, and they're angry, and the devil's telling them, "Go ahead and mutilate your body." But you see, often it can just be I'm hurting, somebody help me. It's a cry for help. And so, as God's people, as God's servants, we need to know what's going on. It may not be a child cutting himself, But it may be an older man or older woman sitting at home like a hermit in the four walls of their house, and the walls are caving in, and they're mad at the world, and they're mad at God, and they have no direction, they have no hope. I'm telling you, God's called us for such a time as this. The Lord has called you and me not to get up in our own little world wrapped up in me, myself, and I. But oh, listen, this dear wild man, he was needing healing from the past. But number two, will you look with me for a moment and see not only he needed healing from the past, but he met the madman, met the God man. Oh, that's what I want to do. Introduce people to the God man. I know he can help them. I can't help them. You can't help them maybe, but Jesus can help them. Hello, Jesus can help them. Hello, Jesus can help them. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that? Well, why aren't we getting more people to Jesus? If we believe it, we ought to be getting more people to Jesus, right? Okay, good. You're with me. So, if he can help them, we can't help them. And maybe that's our dilemma today, is we've been trying to help them in the energy of the flesh. We've been trying to figure out, well, I'll call this psychologist, and I'll call this psychiatrist, and I'll put them on this mind-altering drug, and this opioid, and now they got marijuana prescriptionized because it gets people off opioids, and now they can get stoned on marijuana. Can I get an amen? This is our culture, folks. It's where we're right at right now. And I'm not saying at times that people don't need pain medicine, but I'm saying this. A lot of times it's abused. That's the way the enemy makes ground. Now, this is not just your heathen people that you think that would live a life of degradation and a life out in a cave somewhere. This is people who sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And they can't get a breakthrough. And maybe the enemy's hit them from the side. I'm not being critical. I'm saying there I go yet by the grace of God. We're living at a time and a culture. Have you noticed this? That even good people who were serving the Lord in church now are having really difficult times with pain medicines. And they can't get breakthroughs. And often you don't know how to help them, and I don't know how to help them. We don't know how to help them, but God can help them. God can help them. And the devil, watch, the devil's so dirty and ugly and mean. How many know he hits below the belt? The devil, he comes in like a flood, you see? And first it's, oh, you need this, and you got to have this in order to get over this hump. And that's not a problem. The problem is the addicting factor of mind-altering drugs, how we become dependent upon them. Are you with me? And then next thing you know, our spiritual life, and I know sometimes it's necessary. I'm not knocking that. Sometimes it's necessary. But oftentimes it's not. And here's what happens to a person spiritually. You know what it does to their spirit? It dulls the spirit. And they can't really get up. They don't feel like they can pray. They don't feel like they serve God anymore. And see how the enemy is just heaping guilt on people, condemnation on people. And then you know what the next stage is? Depression. Depression. I feel awful. I can't do what I once could do. And then it's like a battle royal to try to get off the medication. In fact, some people tell me, what's worse than sometimes having surgery is coming off of the mind-altering drugs that you're given while you're having the surgery and the process of trying to recover from the surgery. It's worse to try to come off the drugs. I'm not knocking. We've seen, and as a pastor, you know I love people, but I'm just seeing how the enemy is taking advantage of people today. And we don't need to be ignorant of this. It's almost as if you can't put your finger on it and say, well, what's wrong with so-and-so, and what's wrong with so-and-so, and what's going on with so-and-so? And you don't need to throw rocks at them. You just need to reach out a hand and say, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. And God will help you. And if God don't help them, they won't get help. I want to tell you something. Our woods are full of people right there. You believe that? Just go out and visit people. You'll see what I'm talking about. A madman meets a God man. And the God man, he's a chain breaker and a way maker. And you know what he does? I'll tell you, you say, well, pastor, what are we to do when we're, when we have to have medication? Well, you trust God. I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you how many people have told me, said, pastor, I can't pray right now. I need you to pray for me. See how important it is to visit people, encourage them? See what I'm talking about? See, when you get in a state, I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how long you serve God. I don't care if you're pastor, preacher, deacon, Sunday school. It don't matter. The devil's no respecter of person. And though I've preached thousands of sermons, the devil's not no respecter of me either. And I get on mind-altering drugs and stuff. Something happened, and God knows sometimes you can't help it. But I'm telling you this. That's when we need God's people to help us to get under the burden and pray for us that God will break the chains of the enemy. Young people, same way. Something happens, your boyfriend breaks up with you, girlfriend breaks up with you, you go to a party. Give me a Bud Light. You know, I gotta forget about all my problems. You're stressed out at work, something happens with your family member, and man, you're on your wits' end, you don't know what to do, and you turn for something for a temporary relief. You don't mean to do it that way, it just happens that way. You got that pill right there, that oxycodone in the cabinet. You got that beer store down there, and just take one drink and it won't matter. But wait a minute, there's a way that seemed right unto man, the end thereof are ways of death. We're in a battle, folks. You know the devil. My heart goes out to you. That's why I'm praying, and that's why you need to pray for me, because the enemy's real. And I want to tell you something. The enemy would love to knock you or me out of the battle just like that. You believe that? Just because you're sitting in church today don't mean that you're not a target. The enemy's got your number. We're in a battle, folks. You know that. The battle's the Lord's. I'm just saying it's not time to go AWOL here. And so I want you to see two things about this Lord Jesus. The God-man who is the chain breaker and the way maker. Notice about him. This wild man comes up to Jesus. And two things about the Lord Jesus. Number one, Jesus' authority. Number two, Jesus' victory. First, his authority. He has authority. And you see, he said to the disciples, behold, I give you power, authority. Listen to me. I don't know any other way to say it. I'm saying it as kind as I can. Y'all listen to me. Don't ever say, devil, I rebuke you. Don't you ever try to rebuke the devil in your own strength. The devil will laugh at you and spit in your face. You are no match for the devil, and I'm not either, or his demons, okay? Don't ever, ever, ever say, I rebuke you, devil, or I rebuke the demons. Uh-uh. The only authority we have is in Jesus Christ and his blood. He's the one that's won the victory. And see, a lot of people are going around thinking they got authority over demons. You don't. I don't. The Lord said this, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall enemies but hurt you. And he said this, he stripped and spoiled, Paul said in the book of Colossians, Jesus stripped and spoiled principalities and powers, made a public open display of them, trumpeting over them in it. Colossians 2, verse 14 and 15. And may the God of peace shortly bruise Satan under your heels. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Michael the archangel wouldn't even rebuke the devil about the body of Moses. Michael is a strong angel, one of the strongest angels there ever was and is. Michael didn't say, devil, I rebuke you. He said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And so our authority comes in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. And that's why on Sunday, that's why I'm so glad to see you on Sunday. But if you just sit here and you soak and you sour, it's not going to do you any good. If it's just like water on a duck's back, you want to be entertained, you know, it's not going to do any good. You've got to, and I've got to, by the grace of God, put into practice what God is saying. Come under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand the weapons of a warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Paul said, though we walk in the flesh. How many of y'all are up against the enemy right now? How many of y'all are up against the enemy right now? I know you are. And those of you that didn't raise your hand, you have been blinded. The enemy has his target on you if you're a Christian. And that's what we're seeing in our nation. He said, Paul, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Parents, look at me a moment. If you got teenagers or young people at home, I would encourage you, stay on your knees. You're in some real warfare right now. You do know that, don't you? And you know what the enemy wants us to do? To get preoccupied about being entertained. To get out from under the burden, out from under the battle. Why? Because when he's got you preoccupied, having fun, and just doing your little thing, daddies, we are spiritual priests in our homes. We're protectors, providers of our home. And men, when we get slack and lazy spiritually and can't come to church and Sunday school and feed on the Word of God and be built up to go out and battle the enemy, he knows that. He certainly, that's why it's important. It's not legalism to come to church. It's a battle. We're all in this battle together. And so, Jesus' authority. But his victory, notice his victory. By the way, this battle has raged from the Garden of Eden all the way up. Have you read the book of Revelation? I know you have. Do you know the battle of Armageddon, where the false prophet and the beast are going to be thrown in the lake of fire? All of this is leading up to this time, right now, on planet Earth. When Revelation 20 and verse 10 says the Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. And I'll tell you what, we've seen the work of Satan in high schools lately, haven't we, over the last year. Down there in Florida, this madman went and killed all these young people. Hey, we're this is the real life. We can't get slack. We can't get ease at Zion. We're in a battle, and therefore we're to engage the enemy. The authority, the victory Jesus has. But wait a minute, I've got to hasten, because not only his authority and not only his victory, but notice 2,000 swine, 2,000 hogs. Somebody said they committed suicide. I don't know about that, but they ran down the hill. And somebody said the swine flew. I believe they did fly. They flew down. That's a lot of hogs, 2,000. Here's that old boy. This is a picture of that old boy. And the demons jumped in those swine. They didn't want to leave the country. They wanted to get in the swine. They wanted to get in animals. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? And anyway, I wish I had more time to labor that. But the point is this. This madman met the God-man. And the God-man broke the chains. He's the chain breaker, the way maker. He's the only one that can. Some of you today, you know, deep down inside, you don't have peace. You don't have peace. You're playing games. If you were to die, you'd go out in eternity lost without God, have to stand before a holy God and hear him say, depart from me. You've never by faith received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You're playing games today. And you know you're playing games. Deep down inside, God is convicting you about you better get right or you're going to die and go out to the devil's hell. It's real, folks. And the devil wants you to think, well, you can have fun right now. Go party. Live it up. But wait a minute. How many know we reap what we sow? The devil won't tell you that part. Have fun. Have sex. Drink. Carouse. Have a little party time. Yeah. And there's a consequence to disobeying God, is there not? I know you say, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't say stuff like that. Well, guess what? I'm going to be accountable to God one day, and I've got to, okay? Somebody needs to tell you that. Amen. And so I love you. I love you enough that I'm willing to tell you, because I don't want to see the devil wreck your life. I've declared war on the devil. And that's why I'm sharing what I am today, because I hate the devil. I know the devil is killed, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And so, number three, would you take a look and see this madman who meets the God man? And not only does he meet the God man, he's turned into a glad man. And then notice over here, he not only finds healing for the past and help for the present, but hope for the future. I love this. Look over here in verse number 15 following, and I'll be done. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. I like that. That man was clothed in his right mind. Verse 15, he had a new heart. He had a new home. He had a new Savior. He had a new destiny. He had a new family. Yes, he did. Verse 16, they sought and told him how it befell him that he was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. He said, man, I want to be with you. I don't blame him. I would want to be with Jesus too. And I am, thank God. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but he said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and how he had compassion on thee. How many today would say, I know I'm saved, no doubt. Raise your hand. I'm saved, no doubt. I'm saved, no doubt. I know I'm a Christian, no doubt about it. Not everybody could raise their hand. There was a few folks that couldn't raise their hand. I appreciate you being honest, by the way. I'd rather be honest and just say that I'm a Christian, that just to be kind of like a chameleon, turn to whatever color you're in. As long as you're in the church, you're going to act like a Christian. But when you're out there, you act like a devil. God sees through that, right? Amen. The Lord sees through all that hypocrisy, okay? You can act like Mr. and Ms. Goody-Two-Chew in the church, but then live out like there in hell and live like hell, cuss like the devil and all that stuff. And I'll tell you something. The devil would love to just continue to deceive you. And I want to tell you something. God came, brought you here today for a reason. You don't have to live that way. You can really have peace with God. I want this last thought, two parts, really four parts. This man's, first of all, his testimony was changed. He wasn't a wild man anymore. Secondly, his family was changed. You know his family was changed. Praise God. Oh, number three. His ministry was changed. Go home and tell. Go home and tell. And I don't know about you. Maybe that's why I want to go tell everybody about the Lord, because he sure has changed my life. My testimony has changed. The ministry has changed. God's called us to serve him. Not only that, but our family will be changed. And then last but not least, our legacy will be changed. I'm seeing that old boy right now. I can see him right now in my mind's eye. He's been free, set free. He's sitting clothed in his right mind. Wow. He's not cutting himself anymore. He's not ranting and raving anymore. He's not isolated anymore. He's sitting clothed, and he didn't have clothes on to begin with. But now, this man's in his right mind. What in the world's going on with this man? Hey, go home and tell the great things the Lord had done for you. Now this man wants to, Jesus said, go home and tell. I can see that old boy right now. Now the Bible doesn't say this, but my sanctified imagination starts running right about here. And I can see the old boy as he goes, he gets ready to go home. And here he goes home. He's probably got a home somewhere, or certainly got some family somewhere. They do all of them over there in Israel. I can see him as he's on his way home. And here's his wife, maybe in children, or maybe his family out there. And they can see him walking down the road. And they say, here comes that, hide, run. Here comes the wild man. Run from him. Children, get under the bed. Run. And I can see him as he gets closer and closer to the house. He's at the door right now. And I can see maybe his wife or maybe his mom or daddy say, well, who's there? And he says, it's me. He said, I'm not opening this door. You're a wild man. Last time we got a part of what you were all about. I'm not about to let you in this house. I can hear that old boy knocking on the door saying, no, you don't understand. Jesus has changed my heart. Jesus has saved me. Jesus has delivered me. I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm a new daddy. I'm a new son. I'm a new creature in Christ. I've got a new destiny. I got a new mind. I got a new heart. I've got a new Savior. Open the door. I'm brand spanking new. Because when the Lord sets you're free indeed. I'll tell you. That was a happy day when that old boy came home. Today, will you take some, as we stand to our feet, will you take some steps?